sitting here right now is a testimony to your grace and to your great love for us. We pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would make us, as Opie said, cheerful givers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open them with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We'll be looking this morning at verses 6 through 12. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. The title of our message to you this morning is The Gospel and Giving. The Gospel and Giving. Now, as we're turning it off, go ahead and say, I've heard some people say that all preachers want to talk about sometimes is money. And so I know that I've only been here for a month, I'm already preaching on it. So this might get me in trouble, I'm not sure. But I will say this. I don't preach on it probably as much as Jesus would. And here's why I say that. Did you know that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses is about money? Did you know that out of Jesus' 29 parables, 16 of them were about money? So the fact of the matter is, I feel like I'm in good company, because if Jesus were your pastor, he would have probably already taught on money a couple of times already. So, as you're turning to Malachi chapter 3, we're going to read verses 6 through 12. Malachi 3, beginning in verse 6. The word of our God says this: For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear it, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. When I was a child, my parents taught me to tithe from the time I was a little bit. And we never got an allowance, but we did start working pretty soon after we were able to. And I remember distinctly, after the summer of my sixth grade year, my dad put me to work with a fellow church member of ours there in Darnell, Alabama, who did landscaping. And so I remember very distinctly the very first day that I went and worked with this fellow church member. And we worked in this lady's backyard. We had tree stumps and roots all over her grass. She wanted to landscape her backyard. And so I spent from morning till evening pulling up roots out of this backyard. I mean, I was working. This is the hardest I've ever worked in my life, because I'd not really worked much before that, besides, around our own house. At the end of the day, this fellow church member drives me home. I get out of the truck, and he hands me my pay. I look down, it's a $3 bill and a $5. It's a $25. That's 25 U.S. dollars. Right? Not euros, which would have been better. $25. And so I look back now and I say, if he were to do that to me today, I'd probably turn him into the Better Business Bureau or something like this, because he was probably violating some kind of child labor law for saying that. But I look back, and the point of it is this. My parents always told me to buy. So I knew that if I made $25 that week, that $2.50 were going into office for me. And the reason they taught me to tithe is because they wanted to teach me to care about God and the things of God. And one of the ways you teach people to care about God and the things of God is to give toward God and the things of God. Because here's the truth that I want us to consider this morning. What you give toward is what you will care for. What you give toward is what you will end up caring for. And that's a biblical principle. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verse 34. He said, where your money is, there your heart will be also. Where your money or treasure is, there your heart will be also. My parents wanted my heart to be concerned with God and the things of God. So they taught me to put my money in that direction. You see, what Jesus was saying is that your heart will follow your money. So you may be out there saying, Well, how can I tell where my heart is? After all, the Bible says our hearts are deceptive. I'll tell you this. A couple things. One, look at your checkbook. Where is your money going? Jesus says, wherever it's going, you can be sure that your heart will be there too. And so if we want to be a church that cares about God and the things of God, one of the tests is going to be whether or not we will give the way God wants us to give. So Jesus calls disciples to give in such a way that it honors him and blesses him and that it is obedient. Now here's the fact of the matter. According to a study done in 2007, only about 9% of people in the church that would claim to be born-again Christians, only about 9% tithe or gave 10% of their money to a ministry-related thing. So only about 9% of Christians. Now, if we brought that a little closer to home, we were looking at our congregation today in the sanctuary, what that would mean, if those numbers hold true, is that there might be 25 or 30 people in this room that tithe or give 10% of their money to the Lord in some form or fashion. Now, that's a problem. And in Malachi's day, that was a problem then as well. Now, this problem of God's people not giving the way God wants them to give is addressed all throughout the scriptures. And here's what Malachi says in this text that we're looking at today. Here's the main point of this entire passage that we're looking at. All money is God's money. So we must give how he wants us to give. Get that? All money, even ours, is not really ours. All money is God's money. Therefore, we must give as God wants us to give. That's the point that we see in this passage this morning. And Malachi says three things about giving in this passage that we see. The first is this. Look up here with me in verses 6 through 8. In these verses, Malachi talks about the audacity of not tithing. Now, when I mention this word tithing, the word tithe means a tenth. So, literally, the tithe is to give 10% toward the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 6 about the audacity of not tithing. Then, for I, the Lord, did not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, or return, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? The answer, in your tithes and in your contributions. So, Malachi does something very shocking and bold. This is kind of how the prophets were in the Old Testament. He says, you guys need to repent, Israel. And Israel responds and says, well, Malachi, what do we need to repent of? And Malachi says, you need to repent of stealing from God and robbing God. And they say, how have we robbed God? And often say, well, God, we don't take money out of it. How have we robbed God? And he says, here's the answer. You rob God in your tithes and in your contributions, your tithes and in your offerings. So what was going on in Israel's day was that these Israelites were supposed to give towards the work of the ministry that went on with the priests in the temple. But they weren't doing that. And Malachi says, this is audacious. This is the audacity of these people. Is this, that when you aren't giving the way God wants you to give, you're robbing him. You're stealing him. Now, the Lord had already told the Israelites in Leviticus 25, verse 23, that everything was his. Look what the Lord says in that verse. The Lord says this to them. The land is mine, and you are but aliens in my tenants. Now, a tenant is somebody that's supposed to take care of the land. So when Malachi says to the Israelites, you guys are robbing God, what that implies is everything they had that they were withholding from God was his, not theirs. So there's a very important point here when we think about the gospel and giving, and that is this. My money is not my money. My money is God's money. Your money is not your money. Your money is God's money. As the Lord said to Israel, we are but his tenants, his investors, his stewards. We are the steward of what he had given us, but everything we have is ultimately his. Now, you may, I know what you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking, well, it is to mine. I worked for it, right? I went out, I worked hard for it, I got the money. Here's what God says to that. Here's his response. Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. The Lord says this to the Israelites. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. So he's warning them, before they go into the promised land, He's saying, you guys are going to get in there, you're going to work hard, and I'm going to prosper you. Don't think for a minute that what you have earned, what you have gotten for yourself, was gotten by your own power. He says, don't think that. And he goes on to say, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. And then he thinks, well, it is my money. It's my God. I worked for it. I earned it. Here's what God would say to us this morning. You may have worked for it, but it was God who gave you the power and the ability to work for it. So our response back to him this morning in the sense of getting off of these, we should fear God. Because the God who has given us the ability to work and earn a living is also a God who can take it away just like that. Take away the ability just like that. He has given to us what we have. We are stewards of what we have is owned by God. So Malachi says, you guys are robbing God by not giving the way He wants you to give, by not using what He has given you the way He wants you to use it. Now you may remember back in 2008 and 2009, there was a great case, trial that went on where a man pleaded guilty of several accounts of thievery, of stealing, conning people out of their money. And he earned almost $18 billion out of this. Right now he's sitting in North Carolina in a prison cell. His name is Bernie Madoff. You guys remember him? Back in 2009, went to jail for that. Here's what Bernie Madoff did. He called it a Ponzi scheme, okay? Bernie Madoff was one of the most powerful investors on Wall Street. And what he would do is he would take people's money, he would bring their money to them, and he would invest it in the stock market. And then he, instead of investing it, would actually, though, keep it for himself. But all these people would bring him money. I mean, there were charities, there were big organizations giving this man money. He was supposed to then be able to invest it in the stock market, but instead he was keeping it for himself, having his secretary write up false reports, sitting in that, people say, yeah, your money's doing great, the stock market's doing great, and while everybody else was struggling in the stock market, he was having these great reports to send back to his clients. Well, come to find out, after all this unraveled, people realized what he was doing. He was taking money that was not his, but was given to him to invest, and he was keeping it for himself. And they said, that's horrible. This is what Malachi says the Israelites are doing. God is a God who gave them money and wealth so that they might invest it. Not so that they might keep it, but so that they might invest it. And instead of taking God's money and investing it the way He wanted them to, they were keeping it for themselves. Just like Bernie Madoff, right? The Israelites were involved in a cosmic Ponzi scheme, keeping the money that God had given them to invest for themselves. Now, this doesn't just happen on Wall Street. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day. And recently, they found out that the church secretary had been embezzling money for the church. And so they would bring the offerings together, they would count it up, and she was supposed to then go put it in the bank. What she was doing, however, was keeping a large portion of it to herself. And over the course of a few years, she had collected thousands of dollars of God's money, right, of church funds, and she was giving these false reports about how much was in their bank account, and really she was keeping it for she ended up being fired, and justice was served, and all that. And we hear stories like that, and we go, man, how could somebody steal from a church, right? It's kind of like, you know, all these people, when they see their kids running in church, like, you can't run in churches with God's house, right? In the same way, you can't steal from church, right? We think that's audacious. How could somebody steal God's money? And here's what Malachi is saying. When we don't give the way God wants us to give, we are stealing God's money. We are robbing God. It's as if when the offering plate went by, we took money out of it. That's what Malachi is saying. This is audacious. This is a very serious crime against the Lord. And God gets very angry about it. When you go into the New Testament, one of the great stories you can read about the early church had to do with money. In Acts chapter 5, we read a story about a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira. Remember this? Okay. This is a story that proves that God takes money very seriously. So Ananias and Sapphira were part of the very first church, the Church of Jerusalem. And there was a time in the Church of Jerusalem when, you know, everybody was just getting in this giving mode. I mean, they were giving because there were so many needs to be met, so much gospel ministry to be done, and so everybody was giving. There were several people who were selling property, getting the money, and giving it toward mission. And so they were doing this. And so Ananias and Sapphira said, hey, we want to be leaders in the church. We want to be well respected in the church. We're going to sell some of our property, and we're going to give a big portion of it to the Lord, but we're not going to give all of it to the Lord. We'll tell everybody that we're giving it all to the Lord, but really we're keeping it for ourselves. So when they bring their offering before the apostles, they lay it at their feet, and Peter looks up and says, you guys know what you're doing. You're acting like you're giving it all, when really you're keeping back a large portion of it for yourself, and what it's going to do, don't trust them there. Don't trust them there. Now, this would happen like here today, and we make on the offering plate move by, right? He's like, guys, I don't know if I'm ready for this, right? Well, God takes his offering very seriously. So this is what was going on in the early church. God's proving this point through this story that he takes the way we steward the money and things that he gives us very, very seriously. So Malachi says to the Israelites who were not stewarding God's money properly, that they were actually robbing God. And folks, here's the thing. We should expect of church members that we not be robbers. If we were living in a neighborhood and we knew that our next-door neighbor had robbed the bank, it would be right and just for us to call the authorities, right, and say, I know for a fact that my neighbor has just robbed Regent Bank right down the street. You guys need to come and get it, right? And here's what the Bible says. We should expect the same thing out of church members. We should expect that church members not be God robbers. This is what the Bible is telling us here. Church members should not be God robbers. Now, this goes especially for church leaders, right? We should expect the church ministers, especially, not be those who rob God of his tithes and offerings. We should expect that deacons not be robbers of God, robbing from his tithes and offerings. We should expect that committee members, we should definitely expect that ushers will pass the offering plate, right? We don't want any robbers passing the plate. And they might even be more tempted to drop them down, right? We should expect this, and this is what it's how serious about it takes, not giving the way God wants us to give. I don't want to make light of this, because this is a serious thing. We need to examine ourselves, because there is a close relationship. Why did Jesus talk about money so much? Why talk about it so much? Because money is such a barometer of where we are spiritually. The way we handle money is such a barometer for telling us where we are spiritually. This is why Jesus talked about it so much. And this is why it needs to be talked about here in the churches of our day. The way we give will demonstrate where we are spiritually. So we cannot say, I care about God and the things of God, but I just don't want to give any money for God and things. Because where your money is, there your heart will be also. We cannot say, I care about the lost people and unreached people groups of this world all over the globe that have never heard the gospel. I care about them, but not enough to give for them. Because what we give for is what we care for. And so money is a barometer of our spiritual status. You say, okay, preacher, move on to the next one. Okay. The audacity of tithing. Malachi goes on and talks, secondly, about the purpose of tithing. Purpose of tithing in verse 10. Look what he says in verse 10. He says, bring the full tithes into the storehouse for what purpose? That there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house. So the purpose of tithing is to support the work of the Lord, to support the ministry. In the Old Testament, it looked like this. People would bring 10% of their money, they would bring it to the temple where the priests were, and they would offer it to them because these priests did not have a portion, an inheritance of the Lord. They didn't have land that they owned. This was the way that the ministry was supported. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, it says this. To the Levites, those were the people from whom the priests came, to the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service that they do, their service in the kingdom of me. So the Malachi is saying to these Israelites, you guys are not tithing, you're robbing from God. You should be giving for what purpose? For the purpose of supporting the work of the ministry. So when we come over to the New Testament, oftentimes I'll talk to people about tithing and they'll say that, well, Grant, that was an Old Testament thing. Right? That was an Old Testament thing. We're not under the law of Moses anymore. so just like now we can eat pork, if you shouldn't, we also don't have to tithe. Now, there's three responses to that that I'll get to in a second. Here's what I think is really going on in that situation. Really, that person is showing to me and saying, Grant, I'm going to try to come up with the best excuse I can for why I don't have to give money to God. And here's why that's shot. See the motivation there? Oftentimes, it's our motivation. I want to give as little as possible and still be okay with God. How much is as little as possible that I can give to God and God still be okay with me? That's the attitude that oftentimes we have, and the attitude actually should be the exact opposite. So let's address this question. People will say, you know, tithe was an Old Testament deal. We're not under the law of Moses, so we don't have the tithe. I got three things. First is this. Tithing was not contrived, the law of Moses, but was practiced even before the law was given. Tithing was commanded in the law of Moses, but it was not confined to the law of Moses. It was practiced even before the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses and Exodus was given. In Joseph chapter 14 and verse 20, Abraham, after coming back from winning a war, has all these spoils, and he gives, the Bible says, a tithe, 10% of all these spoils to one of God's priests named Melchizedek. That's the first time that this word tithe is used in our Bible. That was long before Moses ever came on the scene. That was long before the Ten Commandments. That was long before the law of Moses. This idea of tithing was around even before the law was here. So just because we're not under the law anymore, as the New Testament does teach, doesn't mean that tithe has been done away with, because it was something that existed even outside of the law. Secondly, Jesus told the Pharisees that they were right to tithe. One of the things the Pharisees did right was that they tithe. And Jesus told them this. He critiqued them for a lot of other things, but he did say they were right to tithe. Listen to what Matthew 23:23 says. Jesus says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin," those are plants and herbs, "and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice and mercy and faithfulness." So the Pharisees were hypocrites. One thing they got right was that they tithe. I mean, they tithe off of everything, even all the herbs in their garden. They tithe. Now, they didn't care so much about justice and holiness and righteousness. This is what Jesus was criticizing them for. And then notice, listen to what he says. You tithe all this, but you don't care about justice. And then he says this, "These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." In other words, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You guys tithe. That's great. You ought to do this. You ought to do this. But you ought not to also neglect other things like righteousness and justice and holiness." So Jesus tells the Pharisees that they were right to tithe. So in my mind, if Jesus was telling the Pharisees that they were right to tithe, I think he could turn around and say the exact same thing to us. Thirdly, this whole question of, we're not under the Old Testament, but do we have to tithe? Third response is this. New Testament believers should be expected to do more, not less, than Old Testament believers. New Testament believers should be expected to do more, not less, than Old Testament believers. I think here's a question that we need to ask ourselves today. Does God really expect less of us than he did of the poorest of the Israelites? Even the poorest of the Israelites were expected to give 10% of what they earned to the work of the Lord. Here's the question we ask. Does God really expect less of us living in America, living in a land of blessing, the poorest among us being richer than most people in the world? Does God really expect less of us than he did of the poorest Israel? I think the answer is no. If anything, tithing should be the beginning point for us. If anything, God would expect more from us than he would of even the poorest Israelites. The picture in the New Testament is much like that of the Old. Paul writes about giving a lot, and he encourages churches to give for the same purpose that Old Testament believers gave. Old Testament believers were to give for the support of the ministry. When you turn into the New Testament and you read about the subject of giving, this is exactly what Paul says must be done. That giving must be done for the support of the ministry. So you read through the book of Acts, you read through the Pauline epistles, and Paul is constantly telling them to take up offerings and to give. Give for things like the care of orphans and widows, people that are in need. Give for things like missions. Paul was a missionary that went around the world, and people gave for him and others so that he could do the ministry. Here's the reality of the matter. To put a missionary, in a place that has not heard the gospel takes the giving and support of a church. It won't happen without us. It won't happen without us. Ministry must be supported by the giving of believers. Now, the third thing that the Malachi talks about is this. So the audacity of not tithing, the purpose of tithing, which is support of the ministry, and thirdly, the result of tithing. What's the result? There's great blessing that comes from this. Another place says in verses 10 through 12. To bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, whenever God says, put me to the test, I mean, this is normally not something we're supposed to do. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, and Satan says, do this, Jesus, what is one of the responses of Jesus is? The Bible says, Jesus says, the Lord says, do not put me to the test. But we're not supposed to put the Lord to the test when it comes to temptation and things like this. But here's one area, the area of giving, where the Lord says, go ahead and test me and try me. Test me, try me, put me to the test, and see, when you obey, if I'm going to open the window of heaven to you and pour out the test of blessing to you so there is no more need. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for you. In other words, these people were having their crops and things devoured because they weren't giving God what he wanted them to give. They were losing it in one way or another. They weren't giving it, so God was taking it from them in another way. So God says, repent of this, start giving the way I want you to give, and I will bless and not curse you. Verse 11, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. And notice this, verse 12, the purpose is also missional. When you give, and God blesses, look at verse 12, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be the land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. That's what we want. We want people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to call God's people blessed and join the army of God's people. And one of the ways Malachi is saying that's going to happen, that the nations will see that we are salt and that we are light, is in the way that God's people give, and the way that God's people steward what is his, his money. This is one of the outcomes or results of that. Now, here's the danger here. Because what Malachi is not saying, what the Bible does not teach, is that if you give, you will never go without. There are Christians all over the world today who have given much and are starving to death. Where does blessing come for us when we give? Remember the New Testament. What does Jesus say? He said this about giving. Store up not for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, he says, store up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where does blessing come for us from getting ultimately? You may never see it in this life. All the times they're there. Technically, it's probably all over this room where you have given when you didn't think you could afford to give and God met a physical, material need in your life. He sometimes does that. He doesn't always do that. So here's the blessing that you can bank on, you can take it to the bank, you can count on the fact that whenever you give, you are, as Jesus said, laying up, storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. There is great blessing awaiting for us on the other side. If, Jesus says, you lay up treasure for yourself there and not here. All money is God's money. So we must give as he wants us to give. And one of the benefits for us is, right, when you invest, you want to look at the cost-benefit analysis here. You want to see what's my risk, how much can I benefit from this, and here's what God is saying. That's okay even in the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean he'll provide you with all kinds of wealth and riches now. What it does mean is this. Store up yourself treasures in heaven. Give for God, and he will bless you in the next life. Jesus says that those who give up for me, follow me, houses, and fathers, and mothers, and inheritance, and land now, will gain that much more and 100 times that in the new creation. We must give as God wants us to give. We must put into this. I want to challenge you to some ideas. And say, Grant, there's no way. There's no way I can afford to give much of anything, much less 10% of my money. Here's all I'm saying to you. You can't afford not to give. You can't afford not to give. Because what Jesus said is true. If you do not give and you lay up for yourself on earth treasures, they will be rusted out and you will not be able to take them in. It is a bad investment. You cannot afford not to give. Secondly, you cannot outgive God. What you give toward God will be multiplied unto you in the new heavens and the new earth. But here's the thing. You're thinking, I just don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if I can do it. You can't afford not to do it, and you will be blessed for doing it. I want to encourage you, young women, this afternoon, and I want to encourage the husbands, especially as leaders of the home. Go home this afternoon. Sit down with your spouse or your single, just sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and say, God, I'm going to put you to the test. You say, test me and try me and see if I'll not bless you for this. I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to give. I'm going to give to work. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give 10% of my money to the work of the ministry. I'm going to give. And you see if God doesn't bless you. If not now, in the new creation, you will not be sorry that you gave when you walk into the inheritance that is to be ours in the new heavens and in the new earth. I want to leave you with a question. It comes that I read in a book by Randy Alcorn called The Treasure Principle. I just want to commend that book to you, Randy Alcorn, The Treasure Principle. And here it is. When you leave this world, will you be known as one who accumulated treasures on earth that you couldn't keep? Or will you be recognized as one who invested treasures in heaven that you couldn't lose? Read that again. When you leave this world, will people know you as one who accumulated treasures on earth that you couldn't keep? Or will you be recognized as one who invested treasures in heaven that you couldn't lose? All money is God's money. My money, your money. What we must do, and what Malachi was telling the people of this age do, is bow before God and say, God, how do you want me to use your money? How do you want me to steward your money? How can I use your money to bring you glory? That's the question we must ask ourselves. I pray that we would ask that prayerfully and already make up in our minds what he says to us, we will hear. Let's pray here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we want to repent before you today for the times that we have not used your money the way you want us to. Father, I pray that you would change my heart and other people's hearts in this room today. And Father, we would break the mold of the statistics of lack of giving in the churches of our day. That your Spirit would begin to transform our hearts, and that what is true of so many in the church would not be true of us. That we would be a people who do not rob you, but who steward what is yours well, for the advancement of the gospel and for the glory of your great name. I pray that conversations will be had this afternoon around lunch at the table about how we can better be faithful in giving for you and for your work. Father, change our hearts. Lord, the nations need a church, a full of people to give. A city needs a church, full of people to give. Our children need to see fathers and mothers that are committed to giving, for where our money is, there will our hearts.